Chapter 24. Paralyzed, wrapped in a transparent field like a bubble, unable to talk to anyone, my ancilla deactivated by suppressors, I had an ever-changing ringside view of what forerunners do when their anger and fear takes charge. They have no warrior discipline. The atmosphere below was a swirling soup of smoke and fire. Warrior craft and automated weapon systems were mostly too small to be visible, but I saw their effects. Darting beams of needle light, glowing arcs cutting across continents, gigantic, stamp-like divots punched into the crust, and then lifted up, spun about, overturned. I had never seen anything like this, but the Didact had. His memories offered commentary and context as the grappler dragged me down toward that hell. For some time, my involuntary point of view spun away from the planet. Looking outward, I saw weapons and ships in higher orbits transit like frantic stars, the blinding sun, and then the sparkling, dissolving hulk of the Didact's ship. The ship that the librarian had seated inside the central peak of Jamonkin Crater, a bent, broken mass still pitifully trying to reassemble. A ship that never even had a name. Several times, the grappler and I passed through pulses of ionized gas and superheated plasma that tingled my nerves and throbbed in my bones without actual sound. It slowly became obvious that the decimation of the Sanshium world was not all one-sided. The planet itself was a source of plasma pulses and other firepower. More interesting, I caught sight of a craft silhouetted against the stars that looked like nothing made by forerunners. A flat platform surrounded by billowing silvery sails, flapping in and out like the bell of a jellyfish, as if trying to swim clear but not succeeding. The bell dissolved. The platform broke up. Bodies spilled, tiny and motionless. And then all of it was gone. I spun around again. The planet seemed close enough to touch, maybe 100 kilometers below, nighttime emphasizing the dying glow of what might have been forests, cities. Near the brightening arc of sunrise, a glistening river was delineated against the shadow of dawn, studded with smoking pinpoints of orange. Burning ships. Ships made to float on water. There was plenty of time to feel sorry for myself, to regret all I had done. But contrary to all my self-expectations and past attitudes, I didn't. Sorry about nothing, regretting nothing, simply watching, waiting. Waiting with a kind of contentment to die, if that was necessary and inevitable. Wondering about our humans, who had every reason to regret having anything to do with me, and who, if they still lived, might now be adding to their own awareness of past battles, old wars. The main prize was, of course, the Didact. He had fled some duty too onerous to contemplate. He had fought against a council decision, and, losing that fight, he had hidden away, entered into an honorable, if not permanent, retirement. But now his opponents had him again. That seemed more than significant. It caused a deeper anger than anything being done to me. I shut my eyes for a moment. When I opened them again, flares of atmospheric entry shot up on all sides. We were very close to the surface, less than 60 kilometers, and rapidly descending. I spun again and saw space through a cone of ionized gases. Centered in that cone, something impossible appeared far beyond the panoply of ships and weapons exchanges. An enormous ripple that stirred the stars like a stick twirled through flecked paint. The disturbance swept across well over a third of my view, then was framed by an elliptical lacework of hard light. I recognized that this was one end of a massive portal, designed to transport a great deal of mass on a continuing basis. I watched, without emotion, as an enormous but delicate silver ring emerged through the purplish hole in the center of the lacework. Despite its size, the portal had opened far from the orbiting ships, well over 1,000,000 kilometers outward from the orbit of the Sanshium's dying world. Far above war, death, the concerns of little creatures like myself. "It's big," my lips tried to say, but again my breath hitched, my lungs heaved. I tried to suck up whatever air was left, but clearly I was running out. The Seeker was towing me all the way down to the surface with only the bubble as protection. The ring far above shimmered. Within its delicacy, spokes of hard light shot toward the center and created a brilliant copper-hued hub fully a third as wide as the ring itself. Half of the ring fell into shadow. The other half glimmered in bright sun. The inner surface, it's covered with water. My tunnel vision narrowed around the ring, focused on it, and I noticed tiny details. Clouds in shadow, impossibly tiny against such vastness. Mountains, canyons, detail upon detail, as my vision both sharpened and shrank inward until it winked out altogether and I drifted through a thick pudding of nothing. It was now that the domain opened to me. Without benefit of ancilla, interface, or past experience, it was new, deep, appropriately shapeless. That made sense. I was dying, after all. Then it assumed a form, rising around me like a beautiful building with gleaming, indefinite architecture, not quite seen, but definitely sensed, felt, a lightness that carried its own somber joy. "Here comes everybody," I thought. And everybody who had ever visited the domain said to me, "Preserve." The lightness vanished instantly. The building was being carved apart just as our ship had died. More messages. "This time is coming to an end. Preserve. The history of Forerunners will soon conclude." These came with a rising scream of anguish, as if I had plugged into a chamber where essences were pouring forth more than recall and knowledge, pouring forth frustration, horror, pain. Before the bump and the sudden inrush of cold, clean air, breathable air, but with a sharp tang of soot and ozone, the domain lifted up and away. I was grateful to be free of it. For a moment, I doubted I had seen anything but a reflection of my own emotions and predicament.
"Sometimes there is a kind of broken mirror aspect."
Vaguely, I wondered about the giant ring. Had I imagined it? It had seemed so real. Then a word flashed into my revived mind, echoing from the image I had just seen, or imagined, or conjured up from Anoxia. That single word connected intimately with the precious little that the domain had revealed to me. Death. Destruction. Massive power. That word was Halo.